He is so great. And so he is so righteous in his self-promotion. He's righteous because he deserves all the praise. And so the whole universe is designed to display how great God is. And here in our text today, in Ephesians chapter 1, we're looking at verse 12. It says, starting with verse 11, in him we also have obtained an inheritance, having predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things in accordance with the plan of his will to the end. Here's verse 12. To the end. So this is the goal. This is the end goal, right? The end zone. To the end that we who were the first to hope in the Messiah or the Christ would be to the praise of his glory. There's the goal. The end goal. We want to get to the goal. We want to get in the end zone. So it says, to the end. What's the end? What's the goal? It's that we and others would be to the praise of his glory. What is God's greatest glory? It's his sovereign grace. When Moses said to God, show me your glory. God said, all right. And he said, I will declare my name as I pass before you. You will see my hind parts. And even my hind parts are just dazzling. And I will declare who I am as I pass by. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion, and I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And so Paul quotes that, and he declares the sovereignty of God's grace in the book of Romans later. When he quotes what God said to Moses, he says, God shows compassion on whom he desires to show it to. He chooses. It's sovereign grace. And you see, grace can only be sovereign. There is no other type of grace. Because grace means it's undeserved. It's freely given. You can look it up in the dictionary. It says it right there. That it's freely given by God to people. Undeserved. Well, therefore, it's sovereign. In other words, he decides to do it. And he does it. It's not because someone earned it. It's not because somehow it's required. It's not required. It's freely given out of his own being because of who he is. Everything God does depends on who God is, not on anything else. Everything else was made by God, and it's the way he wanted it to be. So it's all coming out of God, and God is giving to his creatures his grace that they didn't deserve. That's me. I'm receiving God's grace because he's giving it to me, not because I did something. Well, didn't I believe? I did, and that's coming up here. But the only reason I believed was what? Later in the same book of Ephesians. It's the gift of God, right? It's the gift of God. We're saved by grace through faith. And that, not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. We can't boast. It's all from God. So, it's explained later in chapter 3, I think, of Ephesians 2 or 3. I guess it's 2. But in any case, It's sovereign grace only because people have forgotten the definition of the word grace. They thought grace was something God had to do for us. that it wasn't sovereign, that we earned it somehow, or we do something special so then God gives us grace. But no, the Bible says that the reason we love God is because he first loved us. Who is the primary mover there? God. We are merely responding. He doesn't love us because we loved him. Come on. We hated him. Man hates God. And so in Ephesians, he puts it a little differently. Instead of saying we love him because he loved us, it says we bless him because he blessed us. Okay? Verse 3, blessed be God who has blessed us. I'm going to wish blessings on God, the God who already blessed us. In fact, the blessing started before he created the universe because he chose us before he created. He didn't give the blessing to everybody. He didn't choose everybody. But before he made the universe, it says here, verse 4, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He chose us before he made us. He didn't choose everybody. Well, everyone says, well, that's not fair. Well, it's a good thing it's not fair, because if it were fair, we'd all go to hell. That would be fair. That's what we deserve. We all deserve to go to hell. But God wasn't fair. He chose some to show grace. Oh, he has to show it to everybody. No. Remember, it's freely given, not deserved. He doesn't have to give it to anybody. He gives it to whom he decides to give to. We don't understand exactly how it's decided. That's in God. That's a secret thing of God. I like what Spurgeon said, and I reposted somebody's post where Spurgeon, I can't quote it, but Spurgeon basically says, you say that's not fair. Well, is there anyone who wants to be righteous and wants to follow Christ and give up sin and follow Jesus and suffer for God? Well, then you're chosen. The rest of you, you don't want any of that, do you? Well, then I guess you're happy that you're not chosen. Because if you were chosen, you'd be very unhappy. Those are the things you don't want to do. Okay? So why are you complaining that God didn't choose you? You don't want to be chosen. Okay? I'm not quoting here. I'm paraphrasing. Spurgeon, what a great preacher from the past. God chose some, and he makes sure that it happens. So let's look at this verse very briefly here. The title is, his goal is the praise of his glory. And like I already said, what's his glory? There are many parts of his glory. All of God is glorious. Especially his masterful creation. His power, his majesty, we sing as we sang. But his sovereign grace, that's his greatest glory. That's what he declared to Moses when Moses said, show me your glory. Okay, here it is. I save who I want to save. I have mercy when I want to have mercy. That's my greatest glory, Moses. And so we see all through here. But the end, verse 11 says, verse 12, the title is, his goal is the praise of his glory, for verse 12. His goal, God's goal in all of this is the praise of his glory. Verse 12. So we were predestined. This verse 11 just goes on and on according. It says, we were predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things, line up in accordance, kata, with the plan of his will. How many times can he use the same words with slightly different meanings? Okay, that's just some mouthful right there. Why? Verse 12, to the end. So he did all of this by his will, predestining us, making sure it happens. He works it all in and lined up with the plan of his will. The plan of his will. Isn't that the same thing? The plan and the will. That's the same thing, really. It's all the same idea over and over again. That he planned it. He willed it. He predestined it. He's making sure it happens. He's working it all in lined up with that. Why? To the end that we who were the first people to hope in the Christ or the Messiah would be to the praise of his glory. Well, there we are. We're the prizes, the treasures that he puts on display. Look at these people that didn't deserve a thing. I saved them. I changed them. I made them like my own son. My son who is perfect. I took the righteousness of my son Jesus and just gave it to them. So they have his right. We have his righteousness. And I paid for it. I sent my son to the cross. My God, his son not sparing. Send him to die. I scarce can take it in. How great thou art. So it's the end goal. And he says that we who were the first to hope in the Messiah. And so, you know, you say, what about Abraham? And what about Moses? Weren't they the first few to hope in the Messiah? Well, maybe sort of as a vestigial precursor to the first who would be the Jews in the days of Jesus. He's talking about the apostles. They were the first ones to hope in Jesus. And the Jews that were learning of Jesus from them. And as they spread the gospel, Peter in his first sermon, and 3,000 people were saved. And the first to believe. We were the first to hope in the Christ. It's to the praise of the glory of God that God sovereignly saved 3,000 people when on the day of Pentecost, Peter gave his sermon. We're the first. We're the first ones. And it's a source of us to praise God. We all praise God that God did that big work there on the day of Pentecost in the first few verses of Acts, the second chapter of Acts, I think, and in Peter's great sermon that God gave to him to preach. So that's the goal. Looking back through here, look at verse 6. He predestined, in verse 5, he predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, not our will, as it says in John chapter 1, who were born not of the will of not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God, born of God, not of the will of man. It was the good pleasure of his will to save us and give us the new birth. Why? Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Verse 7, we have the redemption according to the riches of his grace. That's the source of it. Well, obviously we're going to praise him for that. And now we come to here. We have obtained an inheritance, predestined according to his plans to the end that we would be to the praise of his glory. And lest you miss it, we're eventually going to be completely saved, right? And verse 14, it says, to the praise of his glory. So, at least three times, and maybe one by where it says, according to the riches of his grace, there's another reason there, but it doesn't say to the praise of his glory, literally. But three times, and then finally, three times, including the end here of this one sentence, verses 3 to 14, all one sentence. Three times he says, to the praise of the glory, his glory. but this is the one that says, to the end. That's the goal, to the end, the end zone. The goal is that we who were the first to hope in the Christ would be to the praise of his glory. It's God's glory. It's not man's glory. Will we turn to the God who made all? It's all declaring the glory of God. It says the heavens are declaring it. Can we see it? Will we turn to the God who made all these things to direct us toward him? He said to the nation of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy, you know, you've seen all these miracles of my rescuing you from the slavery of Egypt and the giving of the law, and your shoes didn't wear out as you walked for 40 years in the wilderness, and I preserved you all the way over here to the promised land, and yet I haven't given you eyes to see me or a heart to know me yet. Haven't done it. All these things couldn't save you. One man said, if only someone be raised from the dead, then my brother would believe. I'm here being tortured. Lazarus, give me some water to my lips and my tongue. Send someone back to tell my brother that he needs to believe. He needs to be saved. No, even if someone's raised from the dead, they won't believe. They still won't believe. How can they believe? By God's sovereign act of the irresistible call of God, as we call it. The sovereign grace that comes to an individual that converts their soul, and then they can see and can hear and can believe, and they come to God. And so it's to the praise of the glory of God. That's the goal. And if we are contrary to God's goals, we should get out of the way, or we'll be run over by the 18-wheeler that's headed our way, which is God is running things, and let's get on the bus, okay, that God is directing. Let us be doing the things that he has said we are here for. What's the chief end of man? What it says right here, to the end that we would be to the praise of his glory. What is the chief end of man? Right? Well, it says here, to be to the praise of his glory. That's where we get that, right? The chief end of man is to love God and enjoy him forever. We need to enjoy God and worship him and praise his glory. Not think, God, you're evil. When Satan brings, and you can see this in the quotes from John Piper back there on page 10. When evil comes from Satan, we look through Satan to God and we say, God, you sent this. The Old Testament says the clouds, they go and they move the lightning where God and do what God wants, whether it's for blessing or cursing. The rain comes to bless some. The lightning comes to destroy others, all of it doing God's will. It's all directed by God. And you say, well, Satan's doing it. Yes, he is. But then look through Satan and see it's God getting his will accomplished. Everything is according to God's will. What is worse, to think that God is directing it, or that, oh, it's out of control, God can't control it, it's random, and God doesn't know what's going to happen, and it's out of control, and he's just trying to patch it up, or it's Satan, it's his loose cog, he's off on his bender, God can't rein him in. No, He's on a leash that's only as long as God lets out. God is in control of Satan. You'll see that in the quotes from Piper. Anyway, let's pray and thank the Lord for his sovereign grace and be a part of the end of this where we praise his glory. Gracious Heavenly Father, thanks. You saved us to the end that we would be to the praise of your glory, and especially those first Jews. We thank you for all of your workings, and we ask in Jesus' name, amen.